Romans chapter 11. God hath not cast off all Israel. The Gentiles must not be proud but stand in faith and fear. 11:1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. 11:2. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he calleth on God against Israel? 11:3. Lord, they have slain thy prophets, they have dug down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. 11:4. But what saith the divine answer to him? I have left me 7,000 men that have not bowed their knees to Baal. 7,000, etc. This is very ill alleged by some, against the perpetual visibility of the Church of Christ. The more, because however the number of the faithful might be abridged by the persecution of Jezebel in the kingdom of the 10 tribes, the church was at the same time in a most flourishing condition, under Asa and Josaphat, in the kingdom of Judah. 11:5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant saved according to the election of grace. 11:6. And if by grace, it is not now by works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. It is not now by works, etc. If salvation were to come by works, done by nature, without faith and grace, salvation would not be a grace or a favor, but a debt. But such dead works are indeed of no value in the sight of God towards salvation. It is not the same with regard to works done with, and by, God's grace. For to such works as these, he has promised eternal salvation. 11:7. What then? That which Israel sought, he hath not obtained. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest have been blinded. 11:8. As it is written, God hath given them the spirit of insensibility, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear, until this present day. God hath given them, etc. Not by his working or acting in them, but by his permission, and by withdrawing his grace in punishment of their obstinacy. 11:9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. 11:10. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and go down their back always. 11:11. I say then, have they so stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But by their offense salvation is come to the Gentiles, that they may be emulous of them, that they should fall. The nation of the Jews is not absolutely and without remedy cast off forever, but in part only, many thousands of them having been at first converted, and for a time, which fall of theirs, God has been pleased to turn to the good of the Gentiles. 11:12. Now if the offense of them be the riches of the world and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more the fullness of them? 11:13. For I say to you, Gentiles, as long indeed as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I will honor my ministry. 11:14. If, by any means, I may provoke to emulation them who are my flesh and may save some of them. 11:15. For if the loss of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be, but life from the dead? 11:16. For if the first fruit be holy, so is the lump also. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. 11:17. And if some of the branches be broken and thou, being a wild olive, art engrafted in them and art made partaker of the root and of the fatness of the olive tree. 11:18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. 11:19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. 11:20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, but thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We see here that he who standeth by faith may fall from it, and therefore must live in fear, and not in the vain presumption and security of modern sectaries. 11:21. For if God hath not spared the natural branches, fear lest perhaps also he spare not thee. 11:22. See then the goodness and the severity of God, towards them indeed that are fallen, the severity, but towards thee, the goodness of God, if thou abide in goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. The Gentiles are here admonished not to be proud, nor to glory against the Jews, but to take occasion rather from their fall to fear and to be humble, lest they be cast off. Not that the whole Church of Christ can ever fall from him, having been secured by so many divine promises in Holy Writ, but that each one in particular may fall. and therefore all in general are to be admonished to beware of that which may happen to any one in particular. 11:23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. 11:24. For if thou were cut out of the wild olive tree, which is natural to thee, and, contrary to nature, were grafted into the good olive tree, how much more shall they that are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? 11:25. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened in Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles should come in. 11:26. And so all Israel should be saved, as it is written, there shall come out a son, he that shall deliver and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. 11:27. And this is to them my covenant, when I shall take away their sins. 11:28. As concerning the gospel, indeed, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are most dear for the sake of the fathers. 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts and the calling of God are without his repenting himself of them. For the promises of God are unchangeable, nor can he repent of conferring his gifts. 11:30. For as you also in times past did not believe God, but now have obtained mercy, through their unbelief. 11:31. So these also now have not believed, for your mercy, that they also may obtain mercy. 11:32. For God hath concluded all in unbelief, that he may have mercy on all. Concluded all in unbelief. He hath found all nations, both Jews and Gentiles, in unbelief and sin. Not by his causing, but by the abuse of their own free will. So that their calling and election are purely owing to his mercy. 11:33. O the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! 11:34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? 11:35. Or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? 11:36. For of him, and by him, and in him, are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Lessons of Christian Virtues. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God, your reasonable service. 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be reformed in the newness of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. 12:3. For I say, by the grace that is given me, to all that are among you, not to be more wise than it behoveth to be wise, but to be wise unto sobriety and according as God hath divided to every one the measure of faith. 12:4. For as in one body we have many members, but all the members have not the same office. 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 12:6. And having different gifts, according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy, to be used according to the rule of faith. 12:7. Or ministry, in ministering. Or he that teacheth, in doctrine. 12:8. He that exhorteth, in exhorting. He that giveth, with simplicity. He that ruleth, with carefulness. He that sheweth mercy, with cheerfulness. 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good. 12:10. Loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another. 12:11. In carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord. 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. 12:13. Communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. 12:14. Bless them that persecute you. Bless, and curse not. 12:15. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. 12:16. Being of one mind one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. 12:17. To no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things, not only in the sight of God but also in the sight of all men. 12:18. If it be possible, as much as is in you, have peace with all men. 12:19. Revenge not yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. 12:20. But if the enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For, Doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. 12:21. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Romans chapter 13. Lessons of obedience to superiors and mutual charity. 13:1. Let every soul be subject to higher powers. For there is no power but from God, and those that are ordained of God. 13:2. Therefore, he that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist purchase to themselves damnation. 13:3. For princes are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. 13:4. For he is God's minister to thee, for good. But if thou do that which is evil, fear. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. 13:5. Wherefore be subject of necessity, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. 13:6. For therefore also you pay tribute, for they are the ministers of God, serving unto this purpose. 13:7. Render therefore to all men their dues. Tribute, to whom tribute is due. Custom, to whom custom. Fear, to whom fear. Honor, to whom honor. 13:8. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. 13:9. For thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 13:10. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love therefore is the fulfilling of the law. 13:11. And that, knowing the season, that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. 13:12. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. 13:13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in shame-bearing and impurities, not in contention and envy. 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh in its concupiscences. Romans chapter 14. The strong must bear with the weak. Cautions against judging and giving scandal. 14:1. Now him that is weak in faith, take unto you, not in disputes about thoughts. 14:2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, but he that is weak, let him eat herbs. Eat all things, viz., without observing the distinction of clean and unclean meats, prescribed by the law of Moses, which was now no longer obligatory. Some weak Christians, converted from among the Jews, as we here gather from the Apostle, made a scruple of eating such meats as were deemed unclean by the law, such as swine's flesh, etc., which the stronger sort of Christians did eat without scruple. Now the Apostle, to reconcile them together, exhorts the former not to judge or condemn the latter, using their Christian liberty, and the latter, to take care not to despise or scandalize their weaker brethren, either by bringing them to eat what in their conscience they think they should not, or by giving them such offense, as to endanger the driving them thereby from the Christian religion. 14:3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and he that eateth not, let him not judge him that eateth, for God hath taken him to him. 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth, and he shall stand, for God is able to make him stand. 14:5. For one judgeth between day and day, and another judgeth every day. Let every man abound in his own sins, between day, etc., still observing the Sabbaths and festivals of the law. 14:6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks to God, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth thanks to God. 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. 14:9. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. 14:10. But thou, why judgest thou thy brother? Or thou, why dost thou despise thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 14:11. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. 14:12. Therefore every one of us shall render account to God for himself. 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that you put not a stumbling block or a scandal in your brother's way. 14:14. I know, and am confident in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. 14:15. For if, because of thy meat, thy brother be grieved, thou walkest not now according to charity, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. 14:16. Let not then our good be evil spoken of. 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but justice and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 14:18. For he that in this serveth Christ pleaseth God and is approved of men. 14:19. Therefore, let us follow after the things that are of peace and keep the things that are of edification, one towards another. 14:20. Destroy not the work of God for meat. All things indeed are clean, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. 14:21. It is good not to eat flesh and not to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother is offended or scandalized or made weak. 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Blessed is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. 14:23. But he that discerneth, if he eat, is condemned, because not of faith. For all that is not of faith is sin. Discerneth, that is, distinguisheth between meats, and eateth against his conscience, what he deems unclean. Of faith. By faith is here understood judgment and conscience, to act against which is always a sin. Romans chapter 15. He exhorts them to be all of one mind and promises to come and see them. 15:1. Now, we that are stronger ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourselves. 15:2. Let every one of you please his neighbor unto good, to edification. 15:3. For Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell upon me. 15:4. For what things soever were written for our learning, that, through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. 15:5. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ. 15:6. That with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15:7. Wherefore, receive one another, as Christ also hath received you, unto the honor of God. 15:8. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Minister of the circumcision, that is, executed his office and ministry towards the Jews, the people of the circumcision. 15:9. But that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name. 15:10. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles, with his people. 15:11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye people. 15:12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. 15:14. And I myself also, my brethren, am assured of you that you also are full of love, replenished with all knowledge, so that you are able to admonish one another. 15:15. But I have written to you, brethren, more boldly in some sort, as it were putting you in mind, because of the grace which is given me from God. 15:16. That I should be the minister of Christ Jesus among the Gentiles, sanctifying the gospel of God, that the oblation of the Gentiles may be made acceptable and sanctified in the Holy Ghost. 15:17. I have therefore glory in Christ Jesus towards God. 15:18. For I dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ worketh not by me, for the obedience of the Gentiles, by word and deed. 15:19. By the virtue of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Ghost, so that from Jerusalem round about, as far as unto Illyricum, I have replenished the gospel of Christ. 15:20. And I have so preached this gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man a foundation. 15:21. But as it is written, they to whom he has not spoken of shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. 15:22. For which cause also, I was hindered very much from coming to you and have been kept away till now. 15:23. But now, having no more place in these countries and having a great desire these many years past to come unto you. 15:24. When I shall begin to take my journey into Spain, I hope that, as I pass, I shall see you and be brought on my way thither by you. If first, in part, I shall have enjoyed you. 15:25. But now I shall go to Jerusalem, to minister unto the saints. 15:26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a contribution for the poor of the saints that are in Jerusalem. 15:27. For it hath pleased them, and they are their debtors. For, if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, they ought also in carnal things to minister to them. 15:28. When therefore I shall have accomplished this and consigned to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. 15:29. And I know that when I come to you I shall come in the abundance of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. 15:30. I beseech you therefore, brethren, through our Lord Jesus Christ and by the charity of the Holy Ghost, that you help me in your prayers for me to God. 15:31. That I may be delivered from the unbelievers that are in Judea and that the oblation of my service may be acceptable in Jerusalem to the saints. 15:32. That I may come to you with joy, by the will of God, and may be refreshed with you. 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Romans chapter 16. He concludes with salutations, bidding them beware of all that should oppose the doctrine they had learned. 16:1. And I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is in the ministry of the church, that is in Cenchreae. 16:2. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she shall have need of you. For she also hath assisted many, and myself also. 16:3. Salute Prisca and Aquila, my helpers, in Christ Jesus. 16:4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. To whom not I only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. 16:5. And the church which is in their house. Salute Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first fruits of Asia in Christ. 16:6. Salute Mary, who hath labored much among you. 16:7. Salute Andronicus and Junias, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. 16:8. Salute Ampliatus, most beloved to me in the Lord. 16:9. Salute Urbanus, our helper in Christ Jesus, and Stachys, my beloved. 16:10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. 16:11. Salute them that are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Salute them that are of Narcissus' household, who are in the Lord. 16:12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute Persis, the dearly beloved, who hath much labored in the Lord. 16:13. Salute Rufus, elect in the Lord, and his mother and mine. 16:14. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren that are with them. 16:15. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints that are with them. 16:16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, to mark them who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. 16:18. For they that are such serve not Christ our Lord but their own belly, and by pleasing speeches and good words seduce the hearts of the innocent. 16:19. For your obedience is published in every place. I rejoice therefore in you. But I would have you to be wise and good and simple in evil. 16:20. And the God of peace crush Satan under your feet speedily. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 16:21. Timothy, my fellow laborer, saluteth you, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. 16:22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. 16:23. Caius, my host, and the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, saluteth you, and Cordus, thy brother. 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 16:25. Now to him that is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret from eternity, 1626, which now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the precept of the eternal God, for the obedience of faith, known among all nations, 1627, to God, the only wise, through Jesus Christ, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.